This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks for taking the time today to come on our show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Pat. I'm glad to be here.
Heather, why don't we start off, if you don't mind, just tell us a bit about yourself and your business.
Sure. My name is Heather Boyd, and I'm the owner and proprietor of an intellectual property law agency that's operating throughout Ontario, but we work for clients all over the world and throughout Canada. I started my business in 2011 in Ottawa, and grew that to the point where I was able to help out in the community and stuff like that. I have about six staff members, including contractors and whatnot. And we basically help people protect their ideas.
Wow. And is this something you always wanted to do? First of all, prior to 2000, sorry, you started when in 2011?
2011 is when I went out on my own, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So prior to that, were you working for another firm?
Sure. I was working, I started out in litigation as a paralegal in, I think it was 19, well, I'm dating myself, but it was about 1994, I guess, legal secretary prior to that. And in 1999, I decided I wanted a break or a new way of moving up. And I had plateaued as a senior paralegal. So I decided to go into high tech and got a grasp of what IP was like, because the company that I was working with was filing patents and seeking trademark registration. So then when I left that in 2001, I guess it was. No, 2001, I started in with law firms in IP. And then by 2009, 2010, I was not enjoying working in a law firm stage kind of thing. There was no way to work from home at that time. Law firms really frowned on it. They wanted seats in the butt and weren't really concerned about the productivity. And that's not who I am. So I eventually left and went out on my own in 2011, and I've never looked back.
Wow. First of all, congratulations. That's a long time to have your own business. So that's awesome. And you started off initially, I assume, with just Ottawa-based clients, or right away when you started on your own, were you getting clients outside of Ottawa as well?
So I'm lucky in that I've been able to attend conferences with the firms that I was working with. So I had a very large network of foreign associates that I was able to work with. But I also had clients in the Ottawa area. So I started out trying to get direct clients in the Ottawa area. But I was lucky enough that several of the associates that I had been working for since 2004 came with me into my new venture, just because I guess they liked my work.
That's great. How did you find that transition from working for the, take me through that kind of initial stages, those first few months of going from working for someone to all of a sudden you're on your own and now what kind of thing?
Yeah, it was a difficult slug because there's that stigmatism about women entrepreneur out there, specifically in the legal field, because it has historically been a male dominated career. And finding the clients on my own, up until then, the clients just came to the firm, and then I built relationships with them, because that's what I do. I just build relationships. And so it was difficult setting up all of my own IT, getting all of my, you know, website up and running, getting a new brand developed. I went through two branding developments. And then the law firm that I had been working for actually sued me because one client came with me. I mean, it was the client's choice, but yeah. So there was that on top of it. I was lucky though, because my husband was working in the military. So we had a bit of a cushion to be able to for me to be able to build up my career. So
It's interesting you're talking about, not having the resources anymore. I know when I started extension marketing 11 years ago, during my other previous life, I was very fortunate. I've had a number of really quality high-end EAs working for me. And I always appreciated them, but I never appreciated them as much as when I was on my own and realized I got to do all this myself. That was a real eye-opener for me. So for anyone listening that's thinking of starting a business, I think Heather and I both agree that you have to kind of brace yourself for that. Is that fair to say, Heather?
I think so. I mean, women in the IP realm, back when I started out, we didn't have EAs. We did our own work, whereas a lot of other the partners and whatnot, once you got up into partnership status, then you had your EAs and stuff. So I was used to doing all the typing myself anyway. But having all the other stuff is, yeah. And quite frankly, having support, the IT support was huge for me, getting someone who had a grasp on how to set things up and everything. Because I went from day one, I went 100% paperless, and I didn't bother with an office because that's an overhead I couldn't afford. So.
Yeah. Heather, can you explain to our listeners, kind of dig down a little bit as to what the process is when someone goes to apply for a trademark on something IP related?
So the government has set up the Canadian Intellectual Property Office, and that's where we file documents. So you have to go through an application stage. It's a form that you fill out where you specify the name, the trademark, the goods and services that are associated with those trademarks, trademark or trademarks. And then it goes through a registration process, which means it gets examined to see whether it's in contra it's conflicting with any of the laws that are set out in the Canadian Trademarks Act, and particularly the registrability part of the act. So that's under Section 12. And then once you what we do is we have to potentially sometimes argue with the examiners or the government to say that our clients' marks are registrable because it's not contrary to the act. And then once you've done that, then it goes through what they call an opposition stage. So it's advertised or published for the purposes of third parties to potentially oppose your registration. And that they can do that in various ways, whether it's they've used it prior or whether they find it offensive to those same portions of the act. And then if you're successful, if it doesn't get opposed or you're successful on an opposition, then it issues to registration. But that can take a long time. Right now it's taking somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 4 years to get it through to registration.
Is that a big part of your education process when someone calls you up, Heather, out of the blue, and the average person doesn't know any of this, they may assume it's going to be a lot quicker than that. Is that that must be a pretty big objection you have to overcome early on.
Yeah, one of the biggest issues we've had with the with our client, not necessarily an issue with our clients. One of the biggest issues our clients have is the how slow it is, because it is a real detriment to their ability to make money. You can't make money if you don't own your idea, right? So having registration is a valuable tool. It's an asset that you of your corporation that you can use. You can leverage it for other funding and everything. And if it takes 3 to 4 years before you're guaranteed that you're this is yours kind of thing, that becomes very it's a hot spot, right? So we've been working with SIPA. I've been a member of IPIC for well my entire career. IPIC is the Intellectual Property Institute of Canada, and we are working with CIPO, the Canadian Intellectual Property Office, to help streamline and make sure that those timelines are limited. So they are coming down. COVID did a number on it. The fact that the CIPO has kind of they go through so many staff because it is difficult, and they don't require the examiners to be registered trademark agents. So they're clicking buttons, and they may not understand why they're clicking them. So it's a learning
Is
process.
there anything they can do, Heather, in advance of talking to you to expedite this process, or just it is what it is, and you have to prepare and budget accordingly?
Well, I mean, making sure that they pick the right brand in terms of the trademark processing, picking the right brand is the number one thing. I mean, there's a list of things under class Section 12 of the Act that says your trademark cannot be this in order to be registrable. And that includes a name or surname of an individual who's living or deceased within the last 30 years. It can't be clearly descriptive or deceptively misdescriptive in the English or French languages of the quality or character of the goods and services that you're providing. It can't be the name in any other language of those goods and services. And it can't be confusingly similar with a registered trademark or a previously filed application that's already on the record. So,
So there are things
among
similar.
other ones. So there's lots of things. Yeah.
That's good. Is that information, is that on your website as an example? For someone they can go to? Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when we close, we'll talk a bit more about that, but how people can find out more information. But I think it's really important from what you're telling me, and I'm no expert by any stretch, but the more prepared they are, it may be able to shave off some time and potentially save a bit of money. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and that's what we do with our clients. We offer a free consultation to start with, and we walk them through that whole process right at the outset. And then we follow it up with an email explaining that process again and giving them information that they can keep referring to. So
So you
hopefully it
start this
helps.
business, you're on your own, you're focusing in on Ottawa. And how did you end up expanding outside of Ottawa? Was it word of mouth, or was it through sales or marketing efforts? Or take us through that.
I think a lot of it was just the relationships that I built with clients who then moved to various areas. I've got some big clients in Toronto. Then, I've got friends and family out in BC, and they referred me Toronto lawyers and Ottawa lawyers in the corporate law vein. They were the ones that were referring me out to others. Plus, all my foreign associates were still sending me stuff. So that's how it just grew. And then I moved down to Prince Edward County just a couple of years ago.
Nice. I'm a big fan of the county. We've been going there with my family every year for, I don't know, 30 some years. Yeah,
Oh, really?
it's a great spot. For our listeners out there that are either running a business, thinking starting a business, just focus on what Heather just said. Really, it's your reputation, right, Heather? That you do good work, and other people are going to talk about it and hear about it. And maybe in your situation is like this, but it doesn't happen overnight. And I think anyone listening has to realize you got to be a little bit patient. You're not going to hang your shingle and 1 week later get all these referrals from people that you know. You may get some of that, but is this is a reputation is built up over time. Is that Do you agree, Heather?
I think that is absolutely 100% accurate. A trademark, just like your business reputation, is your business reputation. It's your ID, your identification. And if you don't build up a reputation in that business, people are not going to buy it. They're not going to come to you. So if you can think of it in terms of trying to think of what, like Tim Hortons. At first, Tim Horton was just a hockey player, right? And he decided to open a corner coffee shop when he retired. And that through consistent coffee sales and he was there every day, meeting the customers and everything. And then someone said, "Hey, well, you should come to our community and open a cafe there." And it expanded because of his reputation. It wasn't just the reputation of him in the hockey, it was his reputation in the sales department in his store. So
True.
it builds. That's how you
Let's
grow.
switch gears a little bit, Heather, and talk about the entrepreneurship side of things. So, what advice would you give to someone that's listening that currently owns a business but may be struggling? Because this, as small or medium-sized business owners, even large, I mean, we all go through these phases where there's moments in time throughout our years where we're struggling. So, is there any tips or advice you'd give to someone that's listening that may be struggling?
I think the biggest thing is A, believe in yourself, and then B, make sure you hire people who can help you expand, or to grow, or at least to maintain. And that means making sure that you have a good website that people can find out where you're located. I can't tell you the number of businesses here in the county who don't have websites, and they wonder why nobody's coming and buying anything from them. Well, most of the people around that are coming into the county are tourists. They don't know who lives and works around here, so they're looking for online presence. So show your online presence. Same thing with social media. Get out there and make sure you've got a consistent social media presence, and messaging that goes through with that. And then follow up with people. That's the main thing. People want communication. They don't want to be hassled, but they want honest honest and authentic communication with people and connections.
What advice would you give to someone that's thinking of starting a business? You're employed by a law firm, and you took the leap of faith, and like you said earlier, you never looked back. So what advice would you give to someone that's listening that is thinking of starting a business, but just isn't quite sure what to do next?
I think the best thing is to go to an entrepreneurship center, and talk to the people there. They've got more understanding and information that can be available to them about how to start a business, why to start a business, what kind of messaging do you want to have come across, what are the tools that you need for to start your business. They also know if you want to build a product or something. Then who can make that protocol product? Who can then do the manufacturing on it? Who do you need to talk to about licensing and all the legal stuff on that side? The Entrepreneurship Center has all of that.
And will they vet your ideas as well? Or at least give you some feedback as to, hey, may not be as good as you think, or it's even better than you think?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that's what they're doing, but maybe that's because it's positive feedback, right?
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind, Heather, I'd like to spend a bit of time on this because it's a common thread with all of my podcasts. So I'm of the following opinion. One is you have an idea to start a business and you start to share with family and friends. One of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to tell you what you want to hear, even if they don't believe that, or because you're kind of breaking out on your own, they may want to pull you back in. So I feel it's very important to go outside of your circle and talk to people that would be your potential clients. Would you agree?
100%.
Okay.
And not your potential clients. Talk to the people who would be your potential competitors. How
Yeah.
did they get into the market? Why did they get into the market space?
Yeah. Did you have any mentors when you went out on your own, or did you just kind of go and away you went?
Mentors. I had mentors when I was working in law firms. But I left those firms, so I didn't go back to talk to them. Mark Sutcliffe was a business coach of mine for a couple of years before he became the mayor. And I was part of the Ottawa Entrepreneurship Center for a short time going through that. But I mean, my situation may be a little bit different. I've only lived and breathed IPs for the last 25 years. So
Yeah.
I knew it inside out. I knew I could do it well. I had been performing it, and I had been doing all of the secretarial work, all of the admin work on the invoicing and everything. So it was just a matter of finding the products that suited the way I wanted to set up my business. That's all.
So your situation sounds pretty unique. So one of the things I encourage all of our listeners to do, whether you're thinking of starting a business or you have a business and you're struggling, is seek out others. Being an entrepreneur can be a really lonely existence, and you don't have to go through it alone. There's various organizations like tech groups where you can get together with other entrepreneurs, or you can just reach out to people that you know that own a business. It doesn't have to be your type of business, because we all end up going through the same highs and lows, whether it's a marketing agency, an IP law firm, or a retail outlet. I mean, it's all it really is all the same. Would you agree?
I would 100% agree. I think when you create your community by reaching out and talking to people, then you create your own support network, right? Or your support net. I have girlfriends who own wineries. I like to drink wine. I support them by posting stuff on social media. And I can also then talk to her about the highs and lows and what's going on in my business. Obviously not sharing any confidential information, mind you, but same thing with a marketing company that is just new here in the county. We just get to, and it's just women getting together and discussing what highs and lows of their businesses there are. We throw around ideas, and through that, we feel that community. So it's about building your own community kind of thing. And it doesn't have to be with like businesses at all.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Heather, before we let you go, a couple of things. Before we went live, you were talking about some of the good work that you do in the community. Can you share with our listeners some of that work, please?
Sure. I've been working with on the I don't know what you call it, the organizing committee of the Christie Lake Kids Canoe for Kids for about 14 years now. I am a sponsor of their annual gala so that they can send kids to camp, and they're 100%, all of the funds that they raise goes into sending kids to camp. And I mean, I grew up in a fairly affluent family, I guess. Well, affluent enough. We had four kids and we had enough. But every summer I went to camp as either a girl guide or a scouts in ventures and stuff like that for my entire childhood, I guess you could call it. And I really believe that that there's so much growth that a child can go through when they go to camp. So that's why, like, I wanted to pay it forward and get into that. So I'm a strong supporter of both of those, Christie Lake Kids, for both of those organizations. And I'm also a former Highland dancer. My daughter is still a Highland dancer, and this year the Highland dance, what do they call it, the championship series, Highland dancing is in Ottawa this summer, July 5th to the 9th, and I'm the title sponsor for that. So because I really want people to enjoy Highland dancing, get to learn what it's about, and I think it's important to hold these series. I also sponsored adult dancers over 30 for this championship series to give them a bursary and clothing gift for the winner, and with that is every dancer who's over 30 years old who registers for any one of the competitions, they get a ballot that goes into a draw, and it's just a draw. So it's not about talent or anything. It's just to encourage older dancers to stay in the system.
Well, if over 30 is considered older, I'm not sure where that leaves me, but I'll leave that.
When I started Highland dancing, I was 45, 46.
Wow.
And maybe 34. Anyway, I was dancing against primarily 8 and 12 year olds. So, I mean, this is new. It's
Gotcha. Heather, where can our listeners find out more about your company?
My website is pillarip.com. So pillar is in the pillar of foundation kind of thing. IP meaning intellectualproperty.com. And on social media, it's Pillar IP Inc., Facebook, Instagram. We came off of what, X or whatever is, we're not on that anymore. So
same with me.
Yeah. And yeah. LinkedIn, obviously, either nice. Through my name or under the company as well.
Nice. Thanks so much, Heather, for doing this. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. I loved it.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.